Today we continue our series, The Gospel in Evan Almighty, with the theme, Opportunities. And we go back to where we started, Genesis chapter 6 today, and we will read the 17 through the 22nd verses. I'm reading from Eugene Peterson's translation of the Bible called The Message. God says, I'm going to bring a flood on the earth that will destroy everything alive under heaven. Total destruction. But I'm going to establish a covenant with you. You'll board the ship, Noah. Your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives will come on board with you. You are also to take two of each living creature, a male and a female, on board the ship to preserve their lives with you. Two of every species of bird, mammal, and reptile. Two of everything, so as to preserve their lives along with yours. Also, get all the food you'll need and store it up for you and them. Noah did everything God commanded him to do. Let us pray. Lord, have your way. Take this, your servant, and hide her behind that old rugged cross so that everything that is said and everything that is heard comes straight from you, O God. This is your servant's prayer. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. We encounter Evan Almighty today in the midst of turmoil. Everybody thinks Evan is crazy. God has turned him into what people have started to call New York's Noah. And he looks like Noah. Birds follow him around. Animals follow him around. He's got the robe and everything, y'all. He ends up going to Congress because they're going to vote on a bill, and people are so shocked that they don't know whether he's gone crazy or whether he was just crying old crazy in the first place. Even his family is at a point where they don't know what to do with him. You see, he's wrecking their lives. All of a sudden, they had this great life from New York to the splashiness of Washington, D.C. They had the house and the cars. Everything is great. But now Noah has spent all their money on the empty lots next door. Gopher wood is showing up by the ton. Alpacas have hammers, and giraffes are lifting wood into place, all in one of Virginia's ritziest suburbs. Noah's staff has had it. Evan's staff has had it. Evan's family has had it. And Evan just keeps on building the ark. Let's watch this clip.
Joan, I know you probably saw what happened, but I can explain.
Take the stuff to the car, guys. I'll be there in a minute.
Guys?
I'm gonna take them to my mother's. Evan, I think you need help.
Joan, please. I'm not doing this. It's not me, it's him. I went to that meeting in a suit and he took it off of me. Those animals are following me because of him.
God? Does God know he's destroying our lives? Does God know he's going to get you fired?
Yeah, he's trying to get me fired. He is trying to get me fired. That way I'll have more time to work on the Ark.
Because the rain and the floods are coming. No, I heard you, Evan. The whole world heard you.
Joan, please, you gotta believe me.
There it is! It's happening! It's happening! It's raining!
Bye, Evan.
Joan! I know, whatever you do because you love me. Do me a favor. Love me less.
He's filling the boat with two of every kind of animal. Still to be collected, two giraffes, two elephants, and one more jackass.
What an idiot. Oh, he's a mook.
Jerks.
Don't worry about it, you guys. Come on, eat up.
I'm not hungry.
Yeah, me neither.
You guys can't eat, I can't stop.
Can you go to the bathroom?
Me too.
Okay, Dylan, go with them. Please.
Fine.
Oh, excuse me. Can I get a refill, please?
Coming right up.
Thank you.
Excuse me. Are you all right?
Yeah. No. It's a long story.
Well, I like stories. I'm considered a bit of a storyteller myself.
My husband? Have you heard of New York's Noah?
The guy who's building the Ark.
That's him.
I love that story. Noah in the Ark. You know, a lot of people miss the point of that story. They think it's about God's wrath and anger. They love it when God gets angry.
What is the story about then, the Ark?
Well, I think it's a love story about believing in each other. You know, the animals showed up in pairs. Mm-hmm. You know, they stood by each other, side by side, just like Noah and his family. Everybody entered the Ark side by side.
But my husband says God told him to do it. What do you do with that?
Sounds like an opportunity. Let me ask you something. If someone prays for patience, you think God gives them patience? Or does he give them the opportunity to be patient? If they prayed for courage, does God give them courage? Or does he give them opportunities to be courageous? If someone prayed for the family to be closer, do you think God zaps them with warm, fuzzy feelings? Or does it give them opportunities to love each other? Well, I gotta run. A lot of people to serve. Enjoy.
Sounds like an opportunity. In this life, almost everything is a choice. Sometimes we like to think that we don't have choices. But indeed we do, we just don't like the consequences that come with the choices. You can quit that job, but you may not be able to pay your bills. You can choose not to go with the status quo, but you may lose some of your friends. There is always a choice in this life. You just have to weigh the cost of it. Evan could have chosen not to follow God. And there would have been a cost for it. And I can just imagine that God would have just kept showing more and more and more of Noah in Evan until he had no choice. Or still a choice, but he just would have been crazy man walking. The truth of the matter is that a lot of times we don't want to face the cost of our choices. And yet what God is trying to teach us in Genesis and what God is trying to teach us through the gospel in Evan Almighty is that the choices matter. You don't get to say, oh, I didn't have a choice. You did. You just chose the easier one. We get to the ark because humankind has seriously messed up. They have chosen to do evil. They have chosen to destroy the earth. They have chosen to destroy each other. They have chosen the opposite of what God has asked them to do. But certain choices bring certain opportunities. Noah chose to follow God. Evan chose to follow God. Evan chose to build the ark. Noah chose to build the ark. And with the ark came the opportunity of life. Those who chose to disobey God chose death. And those who chose to obey God chose life. It was easier to disobey God because that's what everybody was doing. It would have been easier not to build an ark in the middle of Virginia. But we shouldn't be surprised when God offers us opportunities to do something different. The Bible says that Noah was righteous. To be righteous means to be set right. It means to be set apart, to be justified, to be one who is after justice and one who is lawful. It means to be someone who follows the rules and seeks to live a life that God has called them to. How many of us could be called righteous? How many of us have chosen a life that sets us up for the greater opportunities in God? Got quiet in here. Noah's nature and Noah's disposition is that of following God. He can't help it. It's like a reflex. He is so in love with God, so in love with following God, where when the choices present themselves to him, the only choice is God. We have to get to a place in our life where when we have to choose the fork in the road, we always go with God. That we don't even have to debate it. That we don't have to think about it twice. That we always choose to follow God. Well, Pastor, how do I know it's God? Well, don't kill, don't steal, don't covet, don't steal your neighbor's spouse. You know, we have some rules here. And they all boil down into this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. If the choice is between loving God and loving people, or doing something that only benefits me and causes harm to my neighbors, then you know which one is God. You don't have to guess. If the choice is make more money or vote for a policy that brings life to other people, You know which one is God. If the choice is choose what does harm or choose what does good for everybody, you know which one is God. Every moment of your life, you have an opportunity. Every moment of your life, you have an opportunity to choose God, to choose God's way, to do what God is calling us to do. And every moment of your life, you will need to choose whether you will follow God or whether you will go with everybody else. Whether you will follow good or whether you will go with what seems good right now but is not really that great. Every day you will have an opportunity to make a choice that literally shifts the way your life will go for the rest of your time here on earth. Every day, every moment of the day. Will I stay in my lane when I'm driving, or do I have to get there faster than each other? And oops, I slammed into somebody and literally changed the direction of their life and mine. See, it's not just the big choices. It's the little ones too. Will I speak life? Good morning, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it and literally change the way that somebody is feeling and somebody is thinking in that day. Or, hey, I can't believe it's another day. Can you believe she said this? Can you believe she did this? Oh my goodness, da 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 da. And literally change somebody's direction in the day. Who will you be? One who follows God at the risk of being called crazy, at the risk of being called out, at the risk of being different? Or will you just go with everybody else and drown to death? Because that's what Genesis says. Either we are righteous and we follow God and we get to live, or we go with the crowd, we are morally corrupt, we do what is not of God, and we drown and die. We like to make it very gray. We like to make it very difficult. Almighty, played by Morgan Freeman, who plays God in this movie, Evan Almighty, he says, I love that story of Noah and the ark. A lot of people miss the point. They think it's about God and God's anger. But what it's really about is a love story about believing in each other. God loved humanity so much that he called Noah apart because he knew that Noah would love God and love God's people enough to, at 600 years old, stop what he is doing, build an outrageous boat, collect animals and food and his family and anybody who would listen, which ends up being nobody, so that they might have life. But we want to talk about when God gets angry. Joan has left Evan with their boys. She just can't stand the crazy anymore. She can't stand the embarrassment. And it sounds like foolishness to her that God is speaking to Evan, that God is working and moving and doing what she actually asked God to do. Sound familiar? We ask God to do something. We ask God to heal us. We ask God to provide for us. We ask God to deliver us. We ask God to do all of these things, but we want to stay exactly where we are, exactly the way we are. We want God to give us change, but we don't want to move from where we are. Almighty says, ooh, this situation sounds like an opportunity. Let me ask you something. If one prays for patience, do you think God gives them patience? Or do you think God gives them opportunities to be patient? If they pray for courage, does God give them courage? Or does God give them opportunities to be courageous? If one prayed for their family to be closer, like you did, Joan, do you think God zaps them with warm, fuzzy feelings? Or does God give them opportunities to love each other? When we pray, we are asking for opportunities. You didn't hear me this morning. When we pray, we are asking for opportunities. If you don't want an opportunity to move, don't pray. If you don't want an opportunity to change, don't pray. If you don't want an opportunity for something to be different in your life, don't pray. Because prayer is asking for an opportunity for transformation. God expects us to grow. God expects us to grow up. God expects us to mature in our faith such that we know the difference between God asking us to do something and somebody else asking us to do something. But growth requires exercise. Your muscles atrophy, and eventually you won't be able to walk anymore if you never stand up and exercise those muscles. So the opportunities God gives us are opportunities to flex those spiritual muscles a bit. Have you ever lifted weights? What happens the next day? Ooh, it hurts. The opportunities that God gives us will not be easy. But they will absolutely be worth it. You always have a choice. Because God is a God of free will. God allows us to choose God. God allows us to choose love. God allows us to choose good. God allows us to choose life. And every choice you make will lead you to another opportunity. An opportunity to grow, an opportunity to stretch, an opportunity to become stronger, an opportunity to become more wise, an opportunity to become more loving, an opportunity to be more kind, an opportunity to be more generous, an opportunity to be more gentle, an opportunity to love the Lord your God with everything you are and everything you have, and to love God's people the same way. A little later in the movie, we learn that Joan and the boys return home. The boys run up on the ark. And Joan says, "Is that a giraffe with a hammer?" And one of the boys says, "No, Mom, that's an alpaca, and they don't spit unless you make them angry or they're scared." Then the oldest boy says, "Dad, we came home because we like you better this way. We like this dad. The dad that is present. The dad that is kind. The dad that prioritizes his family over everything else. We like the dad who follows God. And it's bringing our family closer together." If you don't hear anything else today, hear this. You have a choice. Choices lead to opportunities, and opportunities are answered prayers. So, what's it going to be? Who are you going to be? Noah or the rest of them? Evan or the congressman who was destroying the planet? The boys who rather have their dad look crazy but love them better? Or Joe Smo that has everything in the world but loses their soul? Look for the opportunities this week. Cherish the choices. Choose God. And there, you'll find your answered prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Amen.